Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. If you're new to the show, you can go back and catch up on other episodes on all listening platforms, and or you can just go to my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann, which is where I host a YouTube live premiere every Friday at 8 p.m. And to explain the premiere is, it's when the video component of this episode, the full interview, the full episode lands on my YouTube channel. And the premiere feature allows me to be in the chat. So this really nice community. It's not a ton of people that are in there with me. It's a Friday night at 8 o'clock. Most people are probably out doing stuff. Maybe happy hour has runneth over. Whatever it may be, the crew that I have, I really like catching up with. It's become this little tradition of like, this is how we end our week. How was your week? What's new? Were you traveling for work? And I also see everybody greeting each other. So with that said, I thought this would be the perfect week. First full week is spring. The first full day, it almost feels like spring outside. It's warm. It's not cold and windy. And kind of a podcast palate cleansing for what we've recently had over the past 3 weeks that was just absolutely dynamic. We're going to start out with Catherine Hiller. So I'm on a book bender because I know we're getting to the point where I'm going to be able to be sitting out on my patio. And there's nothing better out there than reading. Just feeling the cool air, listening to this city, not being on your phone, just reading. So stocked up on books. I'm also doing a little travel in the near future. So these books are handy. And The Feud is one of the books that Catherine talked about in the interview. And you could just tell she had so much fun writing it. Catherine's 78 years old, everyone. To be so inspiring at 78, still runs 5 days a week. Like, her story has really stayed with me. So I'm glad I got to have that conversation with Catherine. Following week, another author. You know, I already read this one cover to cover. I've gone back to look up things and for some reference of which I was feeling or what I was doing in my first kind of 6 months of one 24-hour fast week. That was Eat, Stop, Eat. Author Brad Pilon. He was with us. This was a great episode. And Brad actually joined the YouTube live premiere in the chat and sat and talked with everybody that was in the room. So this week, I will definitely not be in the room. So I figured the perfect podcast palate cleansing after Lexi Luna last week, who I get to see this week. I'll be booths mates when you are all in my YouTube channel chatting with each other for the live premiere this Friday at 8 p.m. because I'll be signing autographs at my booth. I'll be catching up with friends I haven't seen since the last Exotica. Get to see how everything was. Remember, we see each other in December for the last one. So I'll catch up with everyone. So I won't be here. So you're getting a solo dolo. That is your podcast palate cleansing. Have a lot of thoughts, have a lot of things to share, have a lot of excitement. Maybe some news or notes that I think I want to address with all of you, and what is leading me down an even deeper rabbit hole of reading. So the reading is going to like summertime. I don't know about you. I mean, it is just such a great time to the winter. I would say I do spend a little bit more time watching TV because I'm watching NFL. I'm watching more NBA. Summer, I want to be outside with less electronics. I took a little bit of a break from technology this weekend and it felt great. Just feels good to put your phone down. Mind you, I was listening to the football diehards and all the other fantasy football news that's out because in my mind, you know, the draft is around the corner. We've got one more tournament game in the NCAA, the women's. What a delight this entire series was. Now, why was it 3 p.m. on Saturday to watch this game? And now tonight's game, it's Monday when I'm recording this, is a 9 p.m. East Coast time. So it's gonna be 11:30 before this thing is over. How can we have such a stark difference in convenient and inconvenient times? But Iowa didn't take the win, but Caitlin Clark really imprinted her into all of our lives. And I will say this, listening to her post-game interviews, seeing her posts on social media, what a well-spoken young woman. And just amazing to see that there's something about being a solid athlete. There's something about that dedication that just kind of translates to every part of your being as a human. The best athletes we've seen have been communicators that are so good that we think if this person ran for president, I'd probably vote for them. Caitlin Clark has that. No matter where she goes and no matter what she does. Now, she is going into the women's NBA. She will no longer be playing at Iowa. This was her last game. She put a cute post out with her jersey. Talented, great speaker, motivated, inspiring, And I think we'll definitely be selling tickets for the Women's NBA. And this is great too. Another way for families and people to get out, another thing to get involved in, and another form of opportunity in balancing out this sports world that we live in with the different genders of sports. But it was awesome. Now we've got this game tonight. And then for me, it'll just be NFL draft. I'm going to host a watch party in the city, and I would like to make it a special announcement when I do announce where and all the details that everyone must wear their team jersey. I mean, you don't have to if you're not that person, but it would be so much more fun if you did, because then when your team makes a pick, I can come over and sit by you and say, how do you feel that affects your team? Do you think this was the right move? Like, I just want to hear firsthand opinions, because there's no better sports radio than all the call-ins that take place after the draft, because you just get these enthused, educated sports fans who in their mind had the perfect pick, whether that pick landed to them or whether their team did the pivot, and you hear everyone's thought, and it really opens your mind to like, oh, I didn't look at it that way, or I'm maybe not as big of a Cincinnati fan, so I didn't really look at those fine details with a coaching coordinator change or what have you. You hear the best calls. So I just thought it would be so fun to mimic that, but in a better space in real life, because in real life, I'll be able to really see these emotions, even though when these people get through on the radio, you hear them. Like, it is incredibly real. So the NFL draft will be all we're talking about. And even though I'm not going to do Fantasy Football Fridays this year, I will still be doing something in some form, whether it's only on my IG lives like I did last year during the football season, religiously every Sunday morning, or whether I do YouTubes, whatever I decide I'm going to, I will still be having these conversations with you, and they're going to start and get heavy around the draft. Then, you know, we get to settle into summer a little bit. Maybe we'll definitely get to schedule some best ball drafts again this year. No, I'm not going to do a 30 for 30, although that was a ton of fun. I definitely probably wouldn't have signed up for it if I knew I was going to Greece. If you remember, I was doing them when I was there, but it was a ton of fun. I'd love to still do them this year. So I will be still having these chats. So I'm super excited about the NFL draft. And I kind of feel like I can't be too excited about it until this last NCAA game tonight. Who takes down the net? Other things of excitement here, if any of you living in New Jersey or New York know, we had an earthquake on Friday, and I will say all of the things that you can say. It was a rattling experience. I was shook. I was shaken, but it was just bizarre. I have been in enough earthquakes to know that feeling. It's not like the wind is rocking your building. It's like the earth is burping from underneath you and starting to pick you up and juggle you around a little bit. And so I was in my office, and my chair started kind of rolling a bit. So I stood up, and I was like, all right, let me think about this. I did the normal things that I do. Grab my passport and my wallet. That's always the first response since California. Grab your passport wallet. Okay, grab my passport wallet. And then I look around, still happening. I feel like 4 seconds goes by. Great thing about living in an apartment, you don't have to run up and down 1,000 stairs to get these things, passport wallet. Then I look around, I think, I'm in a high rise. What are my choices? I'm not going to get in the stairwell and be trapped in that hot thing for an hour, because it takes an hour to get, hour or something to get downstairs. I'm not going to get the elevator during an earthquake. That would just be silly. I don't know about the door frame thing, how this works in a high rise versus a home. They'll tell you to go into, you know, a main frame way doorway or something. My desk, get under my desk. I still have the theory of earthquake, whereas you'll notice I only hang canvas. So my biggest fear living in California was putting tchotchkes or a shelf or a photo that has a glass frame or something that's heavy above the bed or the couch. And I would see people do it, and I would think, like, what are you thinking? Like, if there's an earthquake and you're laying down watching TV, you want to be sure that if something falls on you, it's just a light piece of canvas. And so when I moved here, I was like, no need to change that theory. I will still have lightweight things on the wall. So for me, it's not like as things are going to move as much, because I kind of live in this earthquake kind of, but I do have a lot of tchotchkes in my office now on that little corner shelf that I built over the holidays for my brand new fantasy football trophy. So that's when I realized, maybe you get out of this room, stay out of this room. Okay. Then it's over. I had to gasp for a moment, because I'm like, okay, let's go to Twitter. Okay, let's go to X, formerly known as Twitter. Let's see what others are saying. This is true. There was definitely an earthquake. Then I turn on the news, you know, and you're going down this rabbit hole. It was a surrender. It was a complete surrender because when I realized I wasn't taking the elevator, I wasn't taking the stairs at that point, and I don't know about the doorways, I'm not going to go to my patio. I was like, huh, well, this is not ideal, but there's nothing you can do about it. We've had some little tremors. The two things I had planned to do the day of the earthquake, which I still stuck to my guns and did, but one of them was hyperbaric chamber. And when I get into the hyperbaric chamber, you lay down in this tube. Then there's this very thick zipper that gets the first layer, a very thick zipper that gets the second layer, and a bunch of clamps. And it does take them about maybe 5 minutes to completely clamp you in before they turn on the oxygen, and then it starts. You feel the compression in your ears a bit like you do when you go up in a plane. It's just pure oxygen. I lay in there for an hour. It's not a place you want to be. It would take them forever to get you out. But I really wanted to go that day. I didn't get to go any other day last week. And it is like on a Friday, to me, the hyperbaric chamber, because of the calming effects, because of how great it is to reduce stress, because of, I don't take music or anything in there. Some people go in with their iPod, listen, you know, the AirPods, listen to podcasts, whatever. I just want to meditate. I want to listen to my breathing. I want to recap my week. I want to maybe think about what my plans are for the weekend. What I just want to think. I just want to be locked into a tube, breathing the cleanest of all clean, beautiful air, and in my own way, just processing my thoughts a little bit of time. And I didn't want to cancel. So I was like, all right, well, and so before I went in, I'm like, look, I like you all here so much. Please let me know. You will definitely, no matter what, do all of this to get me out of here, right? Then I'm like, this is kind of the greatest place to die. How long till the oxygen runs out? I would just get hungry. Like we had this, so talk about. And then I was going to tan. I go to tan once a week. And I go to tan because it's one of those things that if you're someone that has eczema or psoriasis and you find the perfect combination of things that you can do for your skin to keep it at bay, tanning is one of those things. And a once a week will really keep it at bay for me. And when I get to go out in the natural sun, believe it or not, the sun is really good for it to a limit. You can also go too far with it. So that is why I got, why I go. I know I tweeted about going one day and I got a lot of judgment, and I just want to emphasize the fact that yes, I do like to keep a nice color. It does look better in photos. That is definitely a case, but I've been too tan. There were times where I was going 4 or 5 days a week. I just let myself go once a week. And if I have a flare up, I'll go again, but it does. I was also going to the tanning bed. Nobody wants to get trapped in a tanning bed up in a building in the city during an earthquake either. But I stuck to my guns. I was not going to let this little quiver, this little earth shaking. And it wasn't that little for back here. I know people in California were tweeting like it was a 4.6 East Coast. Go back to bed. And they're right, because to people in California, a 4.6 is like, I'll go to my neighbors. I would go to my neighbors. Did you feel that 4.6? They were like, no, not at all. You don't feel them if you're driving. Like if you're used to them, you don't feel them. But for back here, that is a big earthquake. So this has been something new, and who knows what's next, but we are making sure that we are doing all the right things. And it's strange because it's also the eclipse, which it's beautiful out. And I'm so happy when I woke up this morning and saw these blue skies. Now there is a bit of a cloud, a haze coming in, which I saw on the weather app, but didn't want to believe. I would just like everybody who made the effort to go somewhere to see the eclipse to have the experience that they were hoping for. I am wishing that so hard on everybody today that is making a journey. I know a lot of people were going to Niagara Falls. I know a lot of people were going to Texas. Fantastic. I know everybody has their glasses. I'm just thrilled that it's nice enough out and hope that people really get to enjoy it. But at the same time, if you're into horoscopes or if you just know the conversation lightly, you know that Mercury is in retrograde. Mercury is in retrograde from April 2nd to April 25th, which is one of these things where you can read enough about it to hear the absolute opposite opinion of, you'll read something like, don't read, learn new things. And then I just read a whole article on Mercury in retrograde is the best time to learn a new language. Some people will say, don't start dating, don't get into a new relationship. But whatever it is, it's a different thing of like a reset. What I've always found interesting about the stars and horoscopes and people who follow and the writings of people who follow, because I love to read it. It's fantasy reading to me. It's just enjoyable. Because it does make sense and things do align. And this is, you know, I just love how it affects people in different ways. And it's a different form of conversation. It's a different form of small talk, right? You're just talking about with people in places that I frequent. And for me, one of the common things I've found with this time, Mercury in retrograde, I love it at this time of the year because I get to test it. I get to be in like I was this past weekend, because I know for the next 2 weekends I'm traveling. I know that I'm going to be doing a lot of great interviews and having a lot of great conversations. So I really wanted to kind of recharge my social battery this weekend. And I want to do a couple of things for myself. I went out to the Tulip Festival yesterday at Union Square Park, and it was so beautiful and it was so packed and everyone had their tulips everywhere. And no, I didn't take any photos. I was lost in the moment. I was just no music on, earbuds in. We're all paying hella attention right now, walking around the city, making sure we're good. So all of that said, I just wanted to kind of retract, but then I also get to expand. I get to test this. Are you different? Some people will say that people's communication is better, and some people will say it gives them brain fog and it affects their mood. The one thing I have noticed since Mercury went into retrograde is that I have had some of the best naps that I've ever taken in my life. And naps where I don't set an alarm. I'm like, you know, I'm feeling a little bit lazy and I know how much work I have still to do, but I know I can get it done at this time. And if I feel like my body is saying, I've also been working out really hard, so I'm a little bit more tired from that. And I know that if between 3 and 4, if I get tired, if it's after 5, I shouldn't do it because then it's too close to going to bed. If it's 3 and 4, I get tired, I'll lay down, see what happens. These 40 minute, I spring up. I feel like a bag of money, like $1 million, like I'm brand new. And then I have this like 6-hour window of like working, staying up a little bit later, 11:30-ish, had to watch the season finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm last night. So I did stay up and watch it. I wasn't going to wait till today. Loved how it ended, exactly like Seinfeld in a sense. Loved seeing Jerry in the closing episode. Loved it. But then still bouncing out of bed like 6:10, 6:15. So I'm rocking with this. So I realized this time around, I was going to just let it kind of do its thing and listen to my body as it's responding. And whether you believe in it or not, if there's something different in your mood or in your vibe, I say when we have these Mercury in retrograde, when we have something going on, that's the time to just break out of a little bit of habit, break out of a little bit of norm and say, you know what, I feel like taking a nap, I'll take one. And so that has been something that I have found to be fascinating. And then I get to go and flip the script by being 2 weekends in a row, traveling, doing a lot of different things from Exotica to some interviews to seeing some friends. So all of these things that are going on while Mercury, and you have till the 25th. So this is something to maybe do a little thinking on. We have a lot of strange news happening right now. Whenever I fall down the rabbit hole with strange news, as I recently have, this Diddy thing has got me watching TMZ again. And I haven't watched TMZ in years because normally my TV is on in my office when I'm working. It's McAfee. If it's not McAfee, it's SportsCenter. It's NFL Network. It's just sports news, right? Very seldom do I even turn on the local news unless something's happening like an earthquake. I'd like to see if there's damage, what have you. But there have been a lot of interesting interviews since this Diddy situation. And I just think it's wild how no one's been arrested, but how many cameras were taken out of this house and how much damage was done when they went in, the FBI went in, and whether someone's guilty or not, we know nothing. But what we do know is that with such force, two homes were pretty much taken apart. And if there were as many cameras as they say, I can only imagine how many endless thousands of hours of footage. Were the cameras recording at all times? Were they on 24-hour loops? Like, what was the thing? And it's just been fascinating me because we've never really seen anything like this, and then nothing really happened. Diddy's out. We're seeing Diddy on the news all the time, just Diddy doing things. Diddy's in Miami. Diddy was top golfing. Diddy was out with his daughters. Like, this, just, it is so bizarre to me. When we talk about these massive cases like Epstein, whose home was left like a museum, what is so different here? What do we not know? And so I started for the first week and I was watching TMZ, and then the stories kind of weren't about, it's always Diddy at first. And then there's, it's not as important. We have less information. It's kind of dwindling down. So now I'm back to not going there. But I did order a book, Notorious COP. This is going to be a patio cover to cover read on the very first day where it's just a little bit warmer than it is today. Believe me, today was a day where I was like, you know what? Do you blow off the day? Went out to put some things at the mail post office. And I was like, oh, it's so nice out. This is the day. Texted a couple of friends. Then I realized, oh, it's the eclipse day. Everybody's going to be out. No, this is not the day. And it's not that warm out yet. But I got this book, Notorious COP. This cop is being interviewed a lot. He was the very first, what they called hip hop cop. He was designated to the rap culture, the gang culture. And so this story sounds incredible. And he had been talking about Diddy for quite some time. So I was like, you know what? I'm not getting enough from the news. I need to fill in the gaps. And let's face it, we all know whether it's Netflix, Hulu, Apple, Max, somebody is already plotting multiple docuseries. And we're all going to sit and watch that. But what I'm going to do between now and then is kind of make it a little bit more of a delight, where I'm going to go down and learn more and more, so that when I see these documentaries and when I hear more news, which whatever would happen is happening. But what's bizarre to me is this is going to tie into something else. And it's Kanye, or Ye, as we call him now. I don't really understand this, so much news and so much photo and so much press on everything that his wife wears. But I'm not really seeing much press on, is he releasing new music? What has happened to the Donda Academy? What is going on with all of these other things? And we live in a world where everybody wants to shame on like a sex worker and OnlyFans model. But yet, every photo, this woman is wearing the uniform for like the sex worker in the 70s. I mean, some of those outfits were things that I wore when I first got in the business, like the pantyhose and shoes like that, because that was still the style. I don't get it. But yet, we're propping this up and we're normalizing it. We're using this woman, whether she's fine with it or not, doesn't really matter. It just matters that the clickbait article is what she's wearing or what she's not wearing, and her covering herself to go into public spaces. So we have this Diddy did it, Diddy not do it. We know the R. Kelly situation. We're pretty somewhat clear, but still mystified on the Epstein thing. I haven't watched the Nickelodeon documentary, and I hear it's very sad, quite on set. Those shows came out after Nickelodeon was kind of not big when I was younger, so don't really have a tie with those shows, but understand that. We see all of this going on, but yet we still glamorize somebody going out there that is trying to hold on to their fame by putting a woman out there dressed in unique ways to get attention for clickbait. And we're all falling for it. I don't really understand. I also don't know what kind of message a parent sends to their daughter when that's how they're dressing their wife to be out and about. I think we're living in a very, very, very confused state right now. And it adds really an element to it all that it's an election year. Okay. It is an election year. We don't know what news to watch. We don't know what news to read. We've got to lean in. But I think it's really important that we don't lean in too hard. We think about blue zones and places that live to be over 100. They don't have these conversations in public forums. They are all about their community. Yes, they will vote and they will be active, but at the same time, they will be more worried about their people in their reach, their community, and they will take care and nurture that community, and community by community, they're still taking care of themselves. So we don't have to worry about what we're looking forward to, but I think we kind of do, because we know the news is going to get so weird that eventually we will all be searching for the story of what he and his wife are wearing to go to the fucking Cheesecake Factory. What is it about the Cheesecake Factory? Why cheesecake? Again, that'll take me down somewhere I really don't need to go. Let's talk about season 2 of Better Halves in the books. 10 episodes done. I absolutely love the rhythm that we get when we get a block of the studio. So Brett and I and our producer, Paul, who you met here on a previous episode last month, Paul Wyszowski. He is our amazing producer. He puts together all of those incredible clips. So we get the block of studio from 11 a.m. to 2. So Brett and I will meet at the studio between 10 and 10:30, sit downstairs, have a coffee, catch up, talk about, go through the news stories that Paul pulled for us, what dating questions we like from the email bag. And then by the time we get in studio, whether we're recording solo or whether we're bringing in guests, we just get in this rhythm. And it has been so much fun. And now these 10 come out once a week, every Friday on Raw Comedy, Channel 99 on SiriusXM. They come out at 10 a.m., 5 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern time. Those are the new episodes. So we get drive time in the morning on the West Coast, drive time in the evening on the East Coast, and then drive time home. So it's really kind of cool how these times, and then it replays. If you're an app user, you can just search Better Halves. So here I am, super stoked. And I put out a post, a selfie bathroom series. Floor 35 has just a remarkable selfie bathroom. So I always go in there and do them. You know, when I'm in studio, if I remember, I go in there. So I post just how exciting this is and how much I'm loving it. Like, I'm kind of feeling like I took the 10 years of what I learned doing fantasy sports radio and sports radio and doing all of these different interviews over time. And now I'm this person in the middle where there's a comedian on one side of me and Brett, or it's just Brett and my producer who does all of the comedy shows. And he's also hilarious. And we're just like cracking jokes and riffing. You know, it feels like you just got a couple of topics, and it'd be like if you and your friends threw a couple topics together and we're all just free flowing your conversation. It's so much fun. I'm using that. Let me keep us on the rails. Let me watch the time. Let me make sure we have the things that we need. So I'm using that bit of experience. I put this post out about how delighted I am about this new walk of life, just kind of being and to be in there. And of course, what am I facing now? I forgot that when I try to do something new or when I'm involved with something new, I forgot there's still people that just hate follow people. And I'm getting a lot of like, people are irked. They are the word, okay, cringe. Cringe is the word I'm getting the most. It's making people cringe that I'm trying another new thing. And I forgot that when you start promoting happiness on another layer of your life, your onion of life, that these people come out of the woodwork. This is where they find glee. This is where they have a new something to sink their teeth into. They probably tried before, but they were so outnumbered by so many other people bullying and saying nasty things that this is their opportunity. They're the first one to make a mean comment. Here we are. When someone comes on someone else's profile to say something makes them cringe, it makes the person that reads it cringe more because you're hate following someone or you're hate commenting on something. So though I am used to it, it still baffles me that people have the time, find the time, use the time to interact in such a manner. And that's the energy you want to be putting out there. That's the vibration you want to live in. That's the frequency you want to be on. It is bizarre world. I ended up realizing, okay, well, I was in the cab, I was in traffic. I was like, so I justify myself to said first said person that said, this is cringing. This is making me cringe, you trying to continue to reinvent yourself. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, buddy. So fucking sorry. So I decide, okay, I'm going to just respond back. Hey, you know, I'm not trying to be a comedian. Oh, he said you trying to be a comedian is making me cringe. I'm not trying to be a comedian. I'm just a host using my experience, broadcast, blah, blah, blah. And then Brett chimes in and says something nice. And then the guy chimes in and says, is this a joke? Is this April Fool's? Then I said something back. Then I realized, oh my God, this is me kindly dealing with a troll, and I should still consider it under the window of the New Year's Eve resolution 2022 that I've magically stuck with, which was don't troll trolls. And I just realized, I'm going to go over this man's page. I'm going to block him. I'm going to delete this exchange, and I'm going to respond to some nice people. Then I went to a couple other comments and I was like, do I block this person? Do I just restrict them from leaving messages? But I find it just bizarro world. And so I brought up a little bit about the books. I brought up the election. Okay. Brought up Mercury in retrograde. We talk so much about mental health awareness, and we talk so much about anti-bullying. But I think the easiest place to go find any of those things not being handled properly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is the internet. because everybody thinks, oh, you know, this is just my username that I have this weird email. It doesn't matter. You're still adding to it. And so are we listening to the messages that are out there that would put us in a better mental state ourselves? Because what people don't realize on the other end, you, the person that writes the message that is negative to somebody else, what you're doing more to yourself is acknowledging that you are unhappy. And by you continuing to acknowledge that you are unhappy and you continuing to engage this way, you are affecting your own mental health. Then there's that trickle-down effect of how you affect other people and their mental health. And so it's great that we talk about it, but are we acting on it? Are we looking at the internet? I will say, of all the TikTok things that I do and do not like, I get more notifications daily that they've removed comments over bullying. So sometimes I do a post, and by the time it's my time to go back and engage, I'll go back to engage and I'll realize, oh, there's a ton of notifications. They've already done that. So whatever their algo is, whatever it sees, thank you. I'm very thankful for it because it allows me to just live in the good comments, just start to engage and get to know your people without all that clutter. Because you can only imagine if you have to read it and delete it and block and read it, delete it and block. Eventually, if you said I was going to do this for 20 minutes, 20 minutes is taken. It's put you in an icky place and the vibes are no longer high. So I just don't get it, but I'm excited. And you don't have to be excited for me. It's completely fine. I'm not asking it, but if you don't like someone, do yourself the solid and unfollow them. Maybe even you block them so they don't pop up in your feed and you're not just tempted to do that bad thing. However, it makes you feel good to break away from that temptation, that addiction, that negativity, that spewing. I'm going to continue to love everything that I'm doing with Better Halves because it is so much fun. Like I said to a friend the other day when explaining it, I think I've found my sweet spot because I've taken the experience that I had, the discipline, knowing how to put together a show, knowing how to stay on time, how to work with guests, how to schedule guests, taking all of this experience by 10 years doing fantasy football, sports radio. And I've parlayed it into something where I'm around a new group of people. It's very lighthearted. Everybody has their own unique thing, whether they have their own podcast and I learn about a whole new sector in the podcast space or they're traveling around doing shows. It's just a new conversation. It's very lighthearted. And I get to tell stories. I also get to swear, which is something we didn't get to do on sports radio. I get to tell stories about the business that I never really shared that are funny moments that are lingering in my head, but something has to jostle them. Something has to make them like come to life. And usually it's a mailbag question. Get involved. BetterHalvesSXM@gmail.com. That is our email for Better Halves. The social media is BetterHalvesSXM on all platforms. So a lot of times it's a mailbag question. One day it was Brett talking about driving and he didn't know what lot Liz is. We're just having fun. So I'm all about this right now. We will be back in studio recording our next 10 starting in May. And we will be doing a live show this year in New York City at New York Comedy Festival. I'm going to make sure you all know in advance. So anyone even that is near to this area or planning a trip to New York that would want to see this in person live, I would love for you to like see the chemistry, watch the banter. I leave there and my face hurts because I've been laughing so much. There's not a better way to spend time at work, right? There's also that feeling that I feel when I go back into the building at SiriusXM that is incredibly exciting. Exotica's coming up. It's this weekend. Chicago. I will be there the 12th, 13th, and 14th, of course, the 14th Sunday. I'll be doing a book reading as I always do. I love the Q&A, the open forum, getting a chance to really chat it up with everybody there. And we have three more shows this year. June 28th, 29th, and 30th is the Miami show. October 25th, 26th, and 27th, Edison, New Jersey. That's the biggest show. It's the original show. That's a real reunion. Some people that only go to one show a year go to that show. So that's our biggest show. And then December 6th, 7th, and 8th, we're in Washington, D.C. So I'm excited to go. This kicks off. I've been, you know, doing all the normal things. It's so habitual for me. to know when this season happens. Okay, I'm gonna hop up on Vistaprint. I'm gonna get some new bags made. Okay, I'm gonna get some 8x10s made. Like, you just am doing inventory on my merch Saturday and my storage down below in the building, doing all of these little things that are just so rhythmic to me and something that I've been doing for so many years of my life that, believe it or not, I actually do enjoy it. As I'm putting these things together, I kind of flash through years of memories of different setups where I'd be packing my merch, whether it was my garage, my place in Huntington Beach, my downstairs storage in Studio City. I think about things that happened, piece of suitcase that was cloth got caught in the rain, all my 8x10s got stuck together. Like, I just kind of flash back. I like it. It's routine. It gets me in this, I know what I'm doing next, all of this stuff. So, ton of fun. Are you going to come to New York City and have some fun this year? Because if you do, there are so many places for you to have the most fun at. We're going to tie one in together with a good meal as well. Separate Restaurant is prime right next door to Sapphire 60. You can have yourself that meat platter that is an unbelievable deal. They say it's the best hidden gem deal in New York City. People, 2 to 4 people could finish it. In my world, 10, but I've seen 2 guys finish the whole thing. It's like $70 for this big wooden tray of all different cuts of meat. Goes perfect with my wine, Lisa by Lisa Ann, which is available for you at Sapphire 60. The moment you've been waiting for, the mailbag. I have to say, this was the easiest mailbag ever. And as I was thinking about, like, do I ditch the day because it's super nice out, which I'm glad I didn't because it is kind of cloudy over there. I decided I would let the mailbag be an indicator. And when I went in to ask lisaann@gmail.com, there were so many good questions that I was able to, this is a sign, you should do your solo podcast episode today. Here we go, the mailbag. If you want to be a part of the mailbag, send your email to asklisaann@gmail.com. We got a good one here from our friend Scott. Scott, you send good and thoughtful questions. I appreciate them so much. And for those of you looking to just catch up on previous mailbag questions, there is a mailbag playlist right here. Check out that thumbnail and click through on my YouTube channel. When you're here for the 8 p.m., I'll remind you all to go back and see. There's a lot of new being added on to my YouTube channel weekly, so enjoy. Question is, inbox says, success in business. Hi, Lisa. I was wondering if you might share some inside secrets about your success in the business world. Since I've gotten to know you, I think you provide so much hope and inspiration for people who strive to thrive on their own in the business world. You've accomplished so much in so many fields, your podcast, fantasy football, sports radio host, your own brand of wine, public speaking and appearances, your line of merchandise, and so on. My question really is, how do you go about all of this? You must develop a business plan, and I know you read so much about and do research. The research you do must be paramount. Is there an aspiring business owners out there that would like your advice to be best for them? Thanks, and as always, stay happy and healthy. So we're going to start with how getting to know me and seeing the things that I've accomplished. Most importantly, I've found that by liking the things that I do, I commit to them a lot easier. So that wasn't always a choice years ago. People would live in an area. It's like, you're either going to work at the phone company or you're going to work here. But as we've become creative and as the internet has opened up Pandora's box for creators, there become so many different ways to do things, to connect with people, to expand your reach. So I've found doing things that I love makes me tick. I've also found putting myself on a schedule and being disciplined is so important. And that discipline carries over from getting up at a certain time and going to the gym and taking care of your health, to how you're going to eat, to being responsible and making sure that you're also taking care of your relationships, whether it's family or friends, taking care of your home. You know, I'm a very neat person. I know that being neat is part of the discipline that ties into everything else I do. But being dedicated and disciplined and knowing that what you do is not going to be a 9-to-5 walk away from, don't think about on weeknights, don't worry about on weekends. That's the trade-off. So if you prefer to work the phone company, I get that. If you want to know that work doesn't come home with you and you want a job, I remember my brother went to college and he ended up graduating and wanting to be a mailman because he wanted to have a family. He wanted to be a little league coach. Like, he had a lot of things that he wanted to do and he didn't want to be taking work home like he had seen my mom do with her job. So get it. There's so many different things to think about, but scheduling your life, because your life is 24/7 when you're a business owner, you have to think about the little spots where you can do things, the best and most successful times to get things done. You need to be efficient. You need to work with people that you enjoy, that you trust, and that you can communicate well with. Communication is paramount in everything that we do, not just in selling things, but in the relationships that you have. I started working with a printing guy in Huntington Beach in the mid-90s. I still work with him. Doesn't matter. A lot of the stuff we're doing, he's just going to send it to me digitally and I'm going to send it somewhere else, have it done. The fact that we built this relationship, our communication was always so, so great. I've gone to use other people and their communication wasn't good. And I realized I've been set up well. I've been somewhat spoiled. I'm going to continue to use the same people. So Scott, there's a discipline that goes with wanting to be your own boss, but there's an excitement and reward to say, oh, I can block out this time and take a nap during the day if I want to. Reading is everything because reading will establish your core habits. Books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Essentialism, that one thing, the power of habit. Because if you love what you do, you will never go to work a day in your life. That's what you have to remember. But it is really also, Scott, understand that some things you win, some things you lose. There's ebb and flows with things. There's business relationships that don't work out. There's things that happen that you just have to find a way to say, okay, here's the good that still came out of this. I learned this lesson. I would not get into this situation again. I would do this differently. There's just all of it. Every day is a school day when you are your own boss. But the great thing is you get to make the decisions. And if you make them right, and if you're dedicated, if you're willing to work hard, you will reap the rewards when you want to have downtime or you want to be doing something that just brings you joy, like sitting out on a patio and reading a book on an afternoon. Thanks for the question. This one is somewhat similar, but I can give a different answer. Phil says, hi, Lisa. Thank you for taking the time to read this email. Throughout your colorful life, I'm sure you've had some good advice and some bad advice. What's the best piece of advice you'd been given, and how did you use that advice to shape your future life? Thank you for the amazing content. Take care, Phil. One piece of advice that I got that I realized this has now changed my life forever, but didn't think about it when I got it. Consistency was something that was stressed on me so much when I was younger. Consistency in every form, from how you operate your daily life to whether you're showing up at somewhere, you're consistently on time. It's not one day you're on time, one day you're 2 hours late, one day you're 15 minutes early. Consistency is key. And I think being consistent is how our relationships really become more valuable, because over the years, people know what to expect when they're dealing with you. They know that you're going to be on time. They know that you're going to show up prepared. They know that when they reached out to you, what they were going to get was what they needed, right? Even with your friendships, you don't want to be that person that flakes. You want to be consistent. So being consistent was something that was stressed on me growing up when it came to like how we made our bed. how we kept our room, how we handled our schoolwork, when we were allowed to play versus when we had to do our work or maybe do something creative because we didn't watch TV like other kids did. We just weren't allowed. So consistency is a big deal. And the first person that you need to be consistent with is yourself. And whether that's making sure that you have food in your house or drinks that you like, whether it's iced tea, I'm not going to recommend soda, but setting yourself up nice so that you have a consistent environment to be in allows you to be more consistent to everybody else around you. Not letting your laundry get so piled up that you can't doing little things for yourself. Those little chores are things that you're doing for yourself to make your later life happier than your life that you're living while you're doing the laundry. So consistency to me is everything. And I have stuck with that my entire life. Last one here is from Peng. Do you autograph photos? I've wanted an autographed photo poster of you. I think you're super amazing. So I thought this would be a great time to tell you this. So I ordered new 8x10s for Exotica. And I was sitting here Friday afternoon kind of organizing the accordion folder and making notes of what I had. And I said to myself, you know what? Why don't I put these up on my store, shoplisaann.com. Just see what happens. If I sell a couple, great. I'll take the rest to Exotica. If I have some left, I'll keep them up on the store. If not, I'll take them down or I could reorder, whatever. I just thought, let me put them up there and see what happens. I sold 15 this weekend and I put it up Friday night. Saturday, I made 2 trips to the post office because I was like, you know what? I'm so flattered that my fans believe in me and trust in me enough that I've been consistent enough that every time they've placed an order for my store, it has arrived. I noticed that out of those 15 orders, 13 people had already ordered for me multiple times, both of my books. So I realized they trust my customer service. That goes back to the last question with consistency. If I was flaky with my store and sometimes failed orders, sometimes didn't, people would stop ordering for me. But selling 15 was so flattering because I was like, wow. And that is how I look at it as I'm walking to the post office. I want to get this 8x10. And it was an 8x10, a new one. And I'm throwing in one of my previous 8x10s as a gift and a little thank you note. And it was a great way for me to get rid of some 8x10s that I already had and put it in, which I know nobody else has because they're really only, I sell them at Exotica and whatever, but it was fun. It was fun to sit there and fill orders again. It was fun to see the alert go off from my Shopify store onto my phone. I thank you all for believing in me and purchasing things from my store. If you can't get it from my store because maybe you live in another country, you can go to fansutopia.com. Fansutopia manages all of the other stuff that I can't, the simple orders I can. I'm so excited to go to Chicago Exotica this weekend. I'm sorry that I could not be a part of this week's 8 p.m. Eastern Time YouTube live premiere on YouTube at The Real Lisa Ann, but I am going to be at a booth in person, living in the moment with so many people. I love going back to this show. I'll be chatting it up with my girlfriends, having a big dinner with Christy, Luna. We'll all be getting together. I will be thinking of all of you. Don't forget, you can go to my store for all things, Shop Lisa Ann. Share this podcast with your friends. Don't forget, if you're new as well, to go back and listen to the previous episodes. Author Brad Pilon from Eat Stop Eat. Author Catherine Hiller was so great as a guest as well, and you can catch up on the previous episodes. You can listen to both of my books on audiobook as well. So all of that goodness I put out there for you because I'm so thankful to have you. Thank you for listening to an all-new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.